Online. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let's begin this week. Rabbi Yisrael, this week is Parshas Hazinu. Parshas Hazinu is Erev Sukkos. Before Rosh Hashanah, there are 4 days, there's a minimum of 4 days of Slichas. Chazal established a calendar that we have to say Slichas for 4 days. Just like when the carbon tumen was put aside, inspected for 4 days, we have to inspect ourselves for 4 days before we come to the Yemei Hadin. And in order that it should be a standard, we should not get confused from year to year, so we always start on a Sunday, as long as there are at least 4 days from Sunday to Rosh Hashanah. It's not a coincidence that between Yom Kippur and Sukkos, there are exactly 4 days. There are 4 days of introspection, bikur, examination, because Sukkos is just another Yom Hadin. We've gone through the Yom Hadin of Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, Mi Yichye Mi Yomos, and now, Baruch Hashem, we survived. We're now at stage two. And stage two is what kind of year? Geshem. Geshem represents prosperity, Sukkah is all about Geshem. It's all about the Luv and the Eshag. We wave the Luv and the Eshag all directions in order to withhold, Hashem should withhold winds that are damaging. It's all about prosperity. It's about success, yeah?
So in other words, you're saying you're going from quality of life.
Yes, correct. We're going from the basic necessities of life and death, basic existence, and now we're going to the quality of life. It's a new tikufa of din. And just as we had before Rosh Hashanah 4 days of slichos, we now have these very 4 special days where we prepare for the new din that takes place on Sukkos. And in that period, this year at least, we lay in Parshas Hazinu. Zinu is a very powerful parsha. Hazinu is jam-packed with many, many yisodos. I want to mention a few very short things, and I know it's late, so we'll have to be mekatzer. But let's mention. I want to ask you to focus your attention on this interesting Rashi. Rashi, in the very beginning, explains the significance of Hazinu Hashamayim Va'adaber. Listen, the heavens, and I will speak. V'sishma ha'aretz imreifi. And Rashi says here, the Oid, in the middle of the first Rashi, you know, just She'im Yisku, if Klal Yisrael merits, if we follow in Hashem's ways, Yavohu Ho'edim, the witnesses themselves will come forward and give us reward. It's not just that the heaven and the earth are witnesses, being that they are around forever. The heaven and the earth are Hashem's instruments that give reward and benefit to Klal Yisrael. Shiyim Yisku, Yavohu Ho'edim, the witness will come, the Yidnu Schon will give the reward. And Rashi says, for example, Hagefen, the vines, Titein Piria, will give forth its fruit. V'ho'oretz, and the earth, Titein will give forth es yivula, its produce. V'hashamayim, Yitnu, Tilam will give forth tal. V'yim yischayiv, if Rachmona l'slan, the Jewish people are not guilty. The heavens will withhold their rain and there will not be rain. So Rashi here says, okay, so Rashi here says, the first thing is going to be the Geffen. Let me read you the Geffen one more time, those words. Shem Yizku Yavoho Eidim V'yidnu Schodam. Hagefen yitnu titein piria v'ha'oretz titein es yivula v'hashamayim yitnu tilam. This is a pasuk in Zechariah, Perikhes, pasuk Yud Beis. The question I saw So someone asked the question, why does the pasuk Zechariah, and Rashi obviously he cites this pasuk in the many pasuk that he could have cited throughout the entire Tanakh to refer to blessing, why does the pasuk put Geffen first? If you were Rashi, and you were writing this idea, you were expressing this idea, and you want to say that the witnesses themselves will come forward and give blessing, what would you put first? The earth will give forth wheat and barley and rye, oats and spelt, the basic staples of life. And there will rain, there will be snow, so the rivers will flow with water, and there will be drinking water, and there will be water to irrigate the fields. Geffen! You want to talk about exotic wines? You want to go to some winery? Go on a tour of Eretz Yisrael and they'll take you to some place high up, some special exotic place where they produce a bottle of wine that costs $500 a bottle of wine? You know, Michael, that's not the ikar. We're not so worried about the wine. Let's focus on the basic necessities of life. And yet, Rashi says, Hazinu hashamayim vadabera. This is Shema Ha'aretz Imrefi. Not only is the heaven and the earth are they witnesses, but they're also they're the providers. She'im Yisku, the Shemayim, and the Aretz are going to give you Geffen. What? That's the most important thing? A cup of wine? The answer is, that's right. Every time you make a simcha in life, what accompanies a simcha? Boirei pri hagafen. Under the chuppah, how many cups of wine do you have? 2 cups of wine. At the sheva brachas, 2 cups of wine. A bris milah, boirei pri hagafen. A pidyon haben, boirei pri hagafen. You sit yomtif with your family, boirei pri hagafen. Whether it's Pesach, Sukkot, or Shavuos, you make havdalah. Birchas Hamazon. You have your family comes together, you have a seuda, you make Birchas Hamazon. When you eat your delicious meal, which includes the bread and the meat and the fish and the appetizers and the dessert, and what do you do when it's all over? The bench a la kois. Kois Yeshua's Eso v'shem Hashem Egro. That's right. It's the Baracha. Hazinu Hashemayim va'adabera v'sishma haretzim v'fi Hashem is Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael she'im yizku, if you will merit to go in Hashem's ways, then the witnesses will come forth and give you a life of quality, a life of prosperity, a life of simcha shel mitzvah. You'll have weddings, you'll have Brisin, you'll have a pidyon haben, you'll have your family sitting around, you'll make kiddush al hakoyis, and you'll bench al hakoyis. V'yo'aretz titein piryah, what's the bracha which is koilel everything, which speaks volumes? The wine. Because we're not referring to the wine, what it tastes like. We're not referring just to the fact that you'll have an expensive bottle of wine. We're referring to the fact you will have opportunities in life to make a bracha, boirei pri hagafen. You'll make simchas. There'll be a life of joy, a life of simcha. I find it very interesting. I don't know if this idea makes any sense, or this might be Purim Torah I'm about to tell you, but we bang the chavata. Is there any other time in halacha or in Jewish ritual where you take something and you bang it on the ground? A very interesting concept to go bang something on the ground. Where do you have such a thing? A minuk, everyone takes out the rafs. It's dangerous to see what it looks like in shul. After you finish Hashanah Rabbah, after you get to the end of davening, everyone is banging the b'chol tukfai on the ground. What did the ground do to you? What did the ground do? Do you have to bang the poor Arava on the ground? There's one place in Shulchan Aruch where there's a mitzvah to do something to the ground. Only one other place in the entire Shulchan Aruch, if I'm not mistaken. I don't even know what the Aleph is Shulchan Aruch. It sounds good to say that, right? Whether it's true or not, it sounds good, what?
It's a hasaka b'karka, kasher anai.
Okay, that's kashin, but kash only when it's only when it's only when it's treif.
Why you
lying
when you spit on the ground?
When you spit on the ground, when you spit, when you
spit,
wet.
Yeah,
the barbecue. That's not I'm sorry. That is not in Shulchan Aruch. That's something which, whatever, it is what it is. Where does it say in Shulchan Aruch there's something you're supposed to do to the ground? Motzoi Shabbos, when you make Havdalah, you're supposed to fill up the kois shel Havdalah, and you're supposed to fill up more so some of the wine spills al hakarka. Not on the saucer. It doesn't say you should fill on the table or on the saucer. It says al hakarak. I told you, I was reading up on this, and someone asked a big rashiva, a big paisek. Shulchan Aruch, it says you have to go do. He says, you're looking for Shalom Bayis problems? Okay, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to fill up the kais, and the kais is supposed to overflow on the karaka. So what's on the karaka, Rabbi Yisai? What have you done the whole year? What have you put on the karaka? You've put on the karaka wine. It comes Hoshana Rabbah. What is Hoshana Rabbah all about? Prosperity! Geshem! The avoida of Sukkis is to blow this, to shake the Dalit meaning in all four directions, to withhold the Tlolim, Royim, and winds that are not of benefit in order that we should have a year, a life of quality. Prosperity. And now we're at the very, very, very end. The very end. We've made it. Sukkis, Dal Minim, Hashana Rabbah. And what do you do at the very end? You take the Hashanas and you bang it on the ground. You know why? You're banging it on the wine that you've poured out the entire year. That one that you've poured out the entire year, which it says in Shulchan Aruch, l'simin birocha, any place where the wine does not overflow like water, gefen, is water. Why are you pouring the wine over the top of your becher? Because a bias where wine does not flow like water, there's no bracha. The ultimate bracha is where the gefen, the yayin, flows like water. We're being mispalo for water, for matar. And we've reached the very, very end. Where is that water? Well, the whole year, every Mitzvah Shabbos, we poured a little gefen wine / water on the floor as a simon bracha. We now say, we bang the floor, we connect this arava. Which, why the arava? Because the arava is a plant which needs an abundance of water. Why the arava more than the lulav, the esrog, the hadasim? Because the arava needs a lot of water. What kind of water do we want to give it? We want to give it the wine of Havdalah. That's what we want to give it. Because the wine of Havdalah is water. Kol bayis she'ein yayin. Wine does not flow like water. That's not a bracha. The wine has to flow like water. The wine is water. Water of bracha. You are rava. You need water? Here's the water. The water is the gefen. We've put it there for you. Soak it up. And blossom. Fulfill what it says in Zechariah. Hazinu hashamayim v'adaber v'sishma ha'aretz emrifri. Let the witnesses, who are the shamayim and the aretz, let them come forth and let them give the bracha. And what is the bracha? The bracha is, what is the bracha in Zechariah? Shim yisku yovohu eidin v'yidnu schodam ha'gefen titein. The gefen will give forth its fruit. There will be wine. And wine is water. And aravos need water. But it's a different type of water. It's water of bracha. It's a water that you make boire pri hagofen. A bracha that you make at a wedding. A bracha that you make at a bris milah. A bracha make at a pinyin ben. A bracha that you make at a sheva brachas. A bracha that you make when you sit with your family and you recite birchas hamazon al eretz chemda toivu urechava sheretzitzav inchalta lavaseinu leechol mipiriv lispo mituva. And when you finish making that bracha, you say baruch ato Hashem lokein melech haolam boirei pri hagofen. That's the bracha that we want. That's the water we want. We want the cycle to continue. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, you are preparing for Hoshana Rabbah. Every Mitzvah Shabbos, when you fill up that kois and you add a little more, so it overflows. So it overflows should be like water of bracha, water, and it goes on the ground. And now you take the item of vegetation which needs an abundance of water. What kind of water do we want for you? We want the water of bracha, the bracha of Geffen. We want the Eidim to come forward and to testify that we were Yizkeh, we have merited, we were Zocha, we were true to fulfill Hashem's directives. We have M'kayim his mitzvahs, we're deserving of that bracha, and the cycle should continue. A hezber, an understanding in why we're taking the arava and hitting it on the karka. We prepare that karka every Mitzvah Shabbos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Hazinu is a shira. It's a very, very strange shira. Why is it? It's one of the only shiras that the Torah itself calls a shira. V'ata kisvu lechem es hashira hazois. It's very interesting that the whole halach of writing the Sefer Torah only comes from this pasuk, the last pasuk in the Chamishi of Parshas Vayelech is V'ata kisvu lechem es hashira hazois. And what is the shira? Oh, hazinu. Oh, okay, so let's just write hazinu. Well, you can't just write Hazinu because you're not allowed to write just one parsha. So we'll write already the whole chumash. And once you write one chumash, we'll write the other four chumashim as well. Isn't it funny? The atah kiskum zashira hazois. So write Hazinu. No, there are a couple more psukim from Mem Dalit Shvi. We'll write it also. Mizois Abrocha. You write the whole Sefer Torah from Hazinu. Why is the Shiras Hazinu the trigger to write the Chamisha Chumshei Torah? That's question number one. Question number two. How is the Shir written? Two vertical columns. In the Megillah, there are also two vertical columns. The Aseres B'nei Haman. And Chazal are not very, it's not very pleasant what Chazal say about two vertical columns. Why are the Aseres Muhammad written two vertical columns? Because it can't stand. It's not structurally sound. The building department will not give a permit for the Aseres, the two columns of the Aseres B'nei Haman. If you want to build a building, you make sure the bricks are Ariach Agabi Levein and Levein Agabi Ariach. You don't go take bricks and pile them straight up. It's not, and with nothing in the middle, it's just going to collapse. That's right. There should not be any tekuma for the Aseres B'nei Haman. The Aseres B'nei Haman, we're hoping they should collapse, and all of their cousins and their relatives and all the copycats, all those that want to go in the way of the Aseres B'nei Haman, there should not be any tekuma. There should not be any existence for these wicked people, and we want them to collapse. If that's the case, Why then is it so that Ashiris Hazinu, which is a song, which represents, I guess we could say, the survival of the Klal Yisrael, is it written in such a way where it's impossible to stand? It should collapse. That's question number two. Question number three is, this is what you call a Shira? You go through Rashi on this Pesukim, this is a horror. The psukim of Hazinu is most powerful musa we've ever come across. One pasuk after another, it's describing where Hashem was so good to us. Hashem is so kind, and we have betrayed Him. We've worshipped idols. We've shamanta avisa kasisa vayishman yishurun vayivot. We forgot vatishkach kel mechaylelecha. We worship idols. When a guy sees an idol and never saw the idol before, so he says, it must be the Jew. It must be a Jewish idol. Only a Jew would make such an idol. No other nation would have the chutzpah to make such an idol. I mean, the psukim over here are arguably more stinging than in the Teuchecha, both Parshas Pekukos and Parshas Kisava. And this is called a shira? And even at the very end, Hashem says, you know something, it's only because the goyim, they shouldn't get away with it, so I'm going to punish them. I mean, what's going on over here? It's a very, very harsh look at history, at Klal Yisrael, and it's disturbing that this is being written, is being said to us at the time of Zeman Simchosein. Here we are, we finished Yom HaKippurim, we're now reaching the Somachta B'chagecha, and here we hear such harsh words of Musar. What's going on over here? To answer these questions, not going to be a full answer, but I think there's an idea, it's an important idea that comes out. When we learned the laws of blowing shofar, we had a topic, we spent time discussing the topic of we do things on Rosh Hashanah kidei la'arvev hasata. We do things in order to confuse the Satan. And we gave a long list of things that we do. In that list, Chazal tell us there's something very important, and that is we do not finish the Torah before Rosh Hashanah. If any one of us was here on the committee to make the calendar when the Torah should come to an end, when we should read Parshas V'zos HaBracha, we would all have it worked out nice, neat. We should lay in V'zos HaBracha right before Rosh Hashanah, or at least right before Yom Kippur, so that right after Yom Kippur, we begin with Bereshis Bara Elokim. This week, really, we should be laning Bereshis. That's what Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us that Be'ikar Hadin, according to the rules of the committee, who were designated to arrange the calendar, to break up the 54 parashios, it is logically sound that the week after Yom HaKippurim should be the week when we start Bereshis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim V'Es Haaretz. The year came to an end with Rosh Hashanah. That's the end of the year. And after Rosh Hashanah is, we have a whole series of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We go through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And now in Yom Kippur, the Yimei HaDin are over. We've been victorious. We start the new year. We should begin with Bereshis. So why don't we do this? Why did Chazal do something which is not logical? The answer is because Kidei La'arvev HaSata. If we would wind down with the Zos HaBracha right before Rosh Hashanah, then the Satan would know, oh, the year is coming to an end. There's going to be a Yom HaDin. The Jews are on trial. Let me get ready. Let me present my arguments why they're not deserving to go have another year. In order to confuse the Satan, Chazal cleverly confused the matter and pushed off Bereshis until after Shmini Atzeres. There's a rule in Chazal that every Hava Amina has truth. The Gemara, we learn Daf Gemara, we go through the Havayos, the Abaye Varava, the conversation, and more often than not, a Svara, an argument, is rejected. The question is, if the argument is ultimately rejected, why did Ravina and Rav Ashi preserve the conversation for posterity? Why is it necessary for there to be a conversation, Abaye and Rava discussing a Havamina? a svara that's advanced, and then it's rejected, a new svara is presented and rejected. Why is that necessary if at the end of the day we don't accept these arguments? And indeed, that's exactly what the Rif did. Okay? That's exactly what the Rif did. He wrote a commentary which just basically cut out all of the conversations and just presented the Gemara's conclusion. And there were times in Jewish history where that was the Iker learning. The Iker learning was the Rif. They didn't learn the Bavli. They learned the Rif because they just learned the conclusion of the Gemara. We don't necessarily need all of the give and take between Abayin and back and forth. The reason why we do not do that, we discuss all of the Hava Aminis, is because even though in this particular sugya that we are discussing, the three different arguments were thoroughly rejected, they were only rejected from this sugya. But it's true elsewhere. Just because in this particular topic of conversation, this argument is rejected, but the argument is emes, and it has an application elsewhere in Shas. Every single svara that is presented on a Daf Gemara is a svara, is an argument that is 100% true. When the Gemara rejects it, it's just rejecting it from this situation, this specific application. But it's emes. And it has an application, a place in a different daf on the Gemara, in Shas. That is why we discuss the Havayis, because every argument is emes. If there is a Hava Amina that we should begin today, this Shabbos, after Yom HaKippurim, Parshas Bereishis, then it has to be that we do begin Parshas Bereishis. It has to be. It has to be that if the correct thing to do after Yom HaKippurim is to start the Torah fresh from the very beginning, it has to be that we do it. So where do we do it? The answer is Hazinu. Hazinu, if Hazinu would have been put in the beginning of the Torah, no one would blink. That's right. It makes a lot of sense. Hazinu, in fact, is the perfect introduction to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Torah is divine. Torah is min Hashemayim. When Hashem came to create the world, Chazal tell us, his intent was to create the world with Midas Hadin, strict, harsh judgment. It's only when Hashem saw the world could not possibly exist with Midas Hadin, Hashem combined, he diluted the intensity of Din with Rachamim. Parshas Hazinu is Din. In fact, not only is it Din, it is the history of the world. It is a description of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It is a description of history from beginning to end with the perspective of pure Midas Hadin. How does it begin? With the creation. Ha'azinu ha'shamayim va'adaber. V'sishma ha'aretz imrefi. The Bereshis bara Elokim eis ha'shamayim v'ha'aretz. What? These are all commandments. Hashem are giving commandments how the world should operate. This parallels Yom Revi. These are all of the elements of creation being presented here in Ma'aseh Bereishis. There's a Shemayim. Hashem gave a shout. Vayom Elokim Yehira Kiya B'soch HaMoyim. V'imadlu Bin Mayim L'moyim. Toitz Aretz Deshe. All of these things is just another way of describing creation. Hashem is speaking, listen heaven, listen earth. Exist. Earth, produce produce. There should be rain. There should be tal. There should be se'idim. There should be deshe. Reviv Malay Yosef. And there should be in this world spirituality. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. The purpose of creation is that when Hashem's name is mentioned, Wake up. Respond. Recite, as Rashi says, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Voed. There is no more perfect description of Maisa Bereishis than the opening of Hazin. And it goes on to describe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates on a plane of Midas Hadin. Hatsur Tomim Paolo Kichol Birachav Mishpat Kel Amunav Einovel Tzadik V'yashar Hu B'yoyim B'roi Hashem Elokim Midas Hadin. Hashem is perfect. Hashem created a perfect world. And then we describe creation. Shiches Loi. Did Hashem bring corruption to man? No! Man is corrupt. It's a description of creation of man, and man was a chayti adam eif ni'et sadas. He brought upon himself all of his own problems. And we go on to describe, we go through all the psukim, we begin to describe history from beginning to end, the hanchel elyon goyim, you can go through a whole thing, you can understand every, and then we describe Klal Yisrael, and how good Hashem is to Klal Yisrael, and how we have rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how ultimately Hashem will punish our enemies. This is a synopsis of creation. It is a synopsis of history with the perspective of Midas Hadin. This is Bereishis. And it's fitting for us to read. What do we say? Chazal really wanted that we should begin Bereishis after Yom Kippur. Kedei la'arvev ha-satan, we pushed off Bereishis to after Shmini Atzeres. Chazal didn't push it off. They gave us Bereishis. That's right. This is Bereishis. This is the real Bereishis. But we're not roy for this, because this is a Bereishis of Midas Hadin. Hashem saw the world cannot exist with Midas Hadin. He needed to dilute the din with Rachamim. But after Yom Kippur, after we were zoiche to Mechilas Avoinos, man is at his best. Man is eligible to live in a world of Midas Hadin. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw how they were combing his flesh, Zu Torah v'zu Sechara. Shtoik. Kach ola b'machshava. Remember when he saw Rabbi Akiva was having Rabbi Akiva, shtoik, kach ola b'machshava. What? The Malachim. Kach ola b'machshava. The Malachim. Kach ola b'machshava. There are people that are worthy of living in a world of Midas Hadin. This was my machshava, my original plan, that the world should operate with Midas Hadin, and there are yechidim that are eligible to live in that type of world. After Yom HaKippurim is over, and Hashem has granted Klal Yisrael Mechilas Avoinos, this is the only time we have even a chance of appreciating a world that is perfect. A world of Midas Hadin. And that is the story of Bereishis. Why is this the trigger to write Kol HaTorah Kula? V'ata kisvu lochem es hashira hazois. Oh, once we write Hazinu, we have to write the whole Torah. What? Hazinu is a fraction of the Torah. Hazinu is the beginning of the Torah. Hazinu is the true beginning of the Torah. Once you write the Hagdama, of course you have to write the whole Sefer Torah. This is the foreword of the Torah, the preface of the Torah, the introduction to the Torah, the acknowledgments, the copyright. It's all the things that come in the beginning of the book is Hazinu. We're laying it in the right time of the year. It represents the ideal of the world, the ideal, the harshness, the Hashem's, the real perspective of what this world is meant to be. It's only because we messed up, so we have no choice. We have to have version, the watered-down version of Ma'aseh Bereishis. The watered-down version of Ma'aseh Bereishis will read after Shmini Atzeres, Bereishis Bara Elokim. That's the watered-down version. Everything is nice and fine and pleasant. But the real version of Bereishis is Hazinu. Why is it written in such a fashion where it's going to collapse? That's exactly why it's called a Shira. Because it has its own set of rules. The real Bereishis, the Bereishis in the beginning of the Torah, it's Oriach al Gabi Levena. It's very secure. It's very secure. Everything is, all the lines match up. But the real Bereishis operates in a different plane. The laws of gravity, the laws of physics, the engineers are not able to deal with this. That's exactly the point. That's exactly why it's a Shira. In Hashem's ideal world, you don't have to worry about engineer physics and worry about gravity and worry about make sure the wall is perfectly stable. Even though the columns are standing in such a way where they can't remain like this, in Hashem's ideal world, He has a different order that is lemala miderech hateva. That is the Shira. That is the recognition, the song that Hashem, you in your world, in your ideal, perfect world, you don't have to worry about the mundane activities and the limitations of the physical reality. Everything will work out, even though it appears to be something which is unsustainable. So basically, what are we trying to do over here? We're trying to explain why we're learning Parshas Hazinu. Hazinu is the Parsha, the true Bereishis of the Torah. It's a Bereishis with a very different perspective. It's a perspective of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a perspective that includes pure Midas Hadin. It includes the entire history of the world from beginning to end. All the elements of creation, the way things happen in its purest form. The only time we have a chance to be eligible to read this is the day after we were zoicha to mechilas avonis. And that, this period of these 4 days, is the time when we can try to come close to be like Rabbi Akiva and operate on a different sphere. A little bit of appreciation of what we have over here in Hazin. Okay, we're running out of time. Let me just go a little bit to Sukkis. Let me just tell you a short vart on Sukkis. Wind down a little bit. On Sukkis, there are two mitzvahs. Okay, there are two mitzvahs on Sukkis. The mitzvah of Sukkah and the mitzvah of Dalid meaning. The two mitzvahs are very different. They're very different types of mitzvahs. What is the main focus of the mitzvah of Sukkah? It represents Yitzias Mitzrayim. We left Egypt and we traveled in the desert for 40 years, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu sheltered us, He took care of us, He provided us with the Anani HaKavod. What is the mitzvah of the Dalet Minim Lulav and Esraik? It represents Eretz Yisrael, to take the Dalet Minim, these are products of the earth, pre-Eitz Hadar. Where do you get that fruit? You're not going to get that fruit in the desert. Where is the pre-Eitz Hadar to be found? In Eretz Yisrael. Kapos Tamarim, Va'anaf Eitz Ovos, Va'arvei Nochal. These are the fruits that represent the qualities of Eretz Yisrael. Usimachtem, and rejoice. A while ago, we discussed a very interesting idea. I forgot, it's not my idea. I don't remember. I know where it came from. I don't remember the name of the sefer at this moment. But we discussed an idea which made a very strong impression on me. I don't know if you share that thought, that idea, but the idea was we were discussing Tisha B'Av. We were discussing the Meraglim. The Meraglim came back and they issued a slanderous report about Eretz Yisrael. So what was the consequences of their Lashon Hara? There was a 40-year delay. Big deal. 40 years is a dot in history. It's So it was a 40-year delay. Okay, 40 years. There was a 40-year delay between the... You want to look back in history in Klal Yisrael. So we left the Mitzrayim, and we got the Torah, and we went into Eretz Yisrael. No, in the middle there was a delay. So there was a delay, so everything goes according to plan. You go traveling, you want to go take a trip, to the country, there's no traffic. You're always so fortunate that there's no traffic. It should only take you an hour to get somewhere. And you're caught in traffic, so it takes you an hour and a half. Well, you have such expectations, you're going to get there with no traffic. It's not the way the world goes. There's always going to be some delay. So there was a delay. Why do we focus the horror of what happened to such a large degree? And the answer we gave then was, an incredible insight. The horror was, but this delay, what it brought about was that the generation who left Egypt was not the same generation that came into Eretz Yisrael. If the same people that left Egypt would have witnessed with their own eyes the coming into Eretz Yisrael, it would have been a whole different ballgame. When they would have conquered the land and established the land, it would have been in a different league. They themselves remember what it was like to be a slave in Egypt. They remember what the miracles they saw in leaving Egypt, the miracles of what took place in Yetzias Mitzrayim, the miracles in the Midbar, the Matan Torah, and now they actually see coming into Eretz Yisrael. The same people, when they would have established, would have gone to war and conquered the land and established Eretz Yisrael, it would have been, they would have invested in the land such intense sanctity, Mashiach would have come in a very short time. The problem was, it wasn't the same generation. The delay was so great, they never made it there. Who took their place? The next generation. The next generation were not slaves. They did not know what it felt like to be a slave. They didn't see Yetzias Mitzrayim. They didn't see what it was like, the Yam, the split. They didn't go and take the Bizas Mitzrayim. They didn't go and have this whole experience. So when they came into the land, they took it for granted. The vast majority of them were experiencing miracles on a daily basis. They were receiving man. They had the Be'er. And they had Nani Akavod. And they came into Eretz Yisrael. No big deal. Another miracle. They lacked the appreciation of what was being given to them because they did not experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. The tragedy of the Meraglim was the delay brought about the fact that the generation that left Mitzrayim is not the same generation that came into Eretz Yisrael. Had it been the same generation, everything would have been qualitatively different to a degree that we cannot even begin to fathom. The Yom Tov of Sukkos is an attempt to go back in time and to make it that it's one generation. What are the two? Yom Tov of Sukkot is very unique. And the Torah gave us two very, very different mitzvahs. Why does the Torah do that? The Torah should only give us one mitzvah. Don't overwhelm us. Each mitzvah by itself is enough to keep us busy a whole year preparing for. Two mitzvahs. You have to go build a sukkah and you have to go buy yourself a set of dalet minim. Isn't that a little bit overwhelming? Rosh Hashanah, you only have to blow the shofar. On Yom Kippur, you only have to fast. Shavuos, you just have to, you don't do anything in Shavuos. In Kabbalah, the Torah, whatever we do on Shavuos. Why did Hashem overwhelm us by giving us two mitzvahs? And the answer is Hashem says, I want you to be one generation, one person, and I want you to synthesize Yetzias Mitzrayim with coming into Eretz Yisrael. When you sit in the sukkah, what are you doing? You're reenacting Yetzias Mitzrayim. I was a slave. And I left Egypt. And here Hashem is taking me in the desert. He's protecting me. The Anani HaKovel started in Egypt. Okay, the Anani HaKovel didn't just happen in the desert. The Anani HaKovel, when they were in Egypt, they had the Anani HaKovel, took them out. From day one, they were Anani HaKovel until the last day. From the beginning of the Yetziah, the Anani HaKovel appeared in Mitzrayim to take them out. Vanan Hashem Aleim, it says, and in the Mitzrayim.
That's why some people bench Esri in the Sukkah.
Exactly. The Anani HaKovel took us out of Egypt. And where did it take us? To the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael. And then we come into Eretz Yisrael, the Peros of Eretz Yisrael. Ulekachtem lechem b'yoyim harishon pri eitz hodar kapois t'lov anaf the Peros. Hashem says, I'm giving you one festival and I want you to take both of these two things and I want you to synthesize them. As you mentioned, the minig is to go, the beautiful minig is to make a bracha on the dalad minim in the sukkah. Because I want you to bridge the gap. It should not any longer be generation A left Mitzrayim and generation B came into Mitzrayim, came into Eretz Yisrael. Because when there's a separation, it's not the same. If you can synthesize the two together, wow. Then, when you're going to live in the land, it's going to be with an entirely new appreciation. A whole new understanding of what Hashem has done for us. It's a whole new Eretz Yisrael. And that will bring the Geula very, very quickly. May all have a wonderful Yom Tov. The last day of Yom Tov, you can leave the Sukkah. You say a special Yiratzayin. That we should be zoiche next year to sit in the sukkah shalivi yosan. And we all zoiche to that bracha, which you all a chag sameach, a wonderful yom tov, a yom of simcha and bracha, prosperity, and all good things. Imam Hashem kol mishalas libcha l'tayim.
Happy yom tov. See you tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Shabbos.